Gar and I, as you know, as we sit here together and talk about this, we understand accountability, and we are accountable for what this team did this year. We don't run away from it. We accept it. That's on us.
Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA, your number one source for Chicago Bulls news and stories.
For me to be here in the NBA organization, such a historic organization, the Chicago Bulls, so it's just a dream come true for me.
Live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
This is going to be a process. You'll snap your fingers and it all happens at once, but that's the plan moving forward.
So kick back, relax, and get ready for the best hour of your day. Locked On Bulls starts now. Here are your hosts, Jordan Malley and Matt Peck.
What's up and welcome into Locked On Bulls, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm Jordan Malley along with Matt Peck. We're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app. On the Nothing But Net channel, we're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Follow us on Twitter at Jordan C. Malley, at Bulls underscore Peck, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Subscribe to the show on iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, and anywhere you find podcasts, you'll find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. You've got 48 hours left to submit your reviews to have the chance to win two tickets for you and a guest to join Matt and I at the Timberwolves Bulls game on February 9th. So that's about a week from now. On that Friday, you'll be able to join us. All you have to do is submit a screenshot of a review. So any player you like to listen to podcasts on, whether that's iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, wherever it is, leave us a review. Screenshot that review and send it to lockedonbulls@gmail.com, and we'll submit you into that lottery. We're going to pick the winner sometime on Friday or Saturday, so make sure you're keeping up to date on Twitter at lockedonbulls for all of that information. So the first thing I got to say here is that I'm doing the pod solo today. So Matt Peck has lost one thing you need in order to record. That would be your voice, so hopefully he'll be back tomorrow. And we have a special guest lined up for tomorrow as well, so someone you might be familiar with. So definitely make sure you're keeping subscribe to the show and keep listening, because it's going to be a great guest and somebody you guys are familiar with too. But I wanted to hop on the mic today, at least to talk a little bit and get some initial reaction out there, because it's a big day. It's an important day for the Chicago Bulls. It's an important day for the front office, and it's an important day for Nikola Mirotic. It's an important day for those who own an Omer Asik jersey and for those hoping the tank was still in progress. So after just about 48 hours ago, we heard that there was a deal in place for Nikola Mirotic. After some scuffle and some unwillingness to pick up that option, the Pelicans kind of backed off. And so we were hearing that maybe talks were cooling down, that maybe Utah was going to be in play for Nikola Mirotic, maybe some other suitors as well. Then today, as reported by Adrian Wojnarowski of ESPN, the Bulls sent Nikola Mirotic and a second-round pick to the New Orleans Pelicans for Omer Asik, Jameer Nelson, Tony Allen, a first-round pick, and the ability to swap second-round picks in 2020, whichever one is the better pick. So there's a lot going on in this deal, I think, that's important to talk about, not only with the Chicago Bulls, but also with the Pelicans, and sort of on Nico's way out here in Chicago. This is going to be an important topic to talk about. So I want to dive into some of the layers, on the surface at least, about this deal and what it could mean for the Chicago Bulls and what it could mean for ultimately those fans out there who liked Nico Mirotic and are sad to see him go. So the first and most important part of this whole thing was the skepticism of Bulls fans maybe hoping that the Bulls, initially when we heard this earlier in the week, that the Bulls were getting a first round pick. And, you know, I said it earlier on the week on the podcast that I was getting ready to applaud guys in the front office for finding a suitor for Nico Mirotic and taking on a large contract and basically a salary dump and using the money that the Bulls haven't used at all. I mean, they were $15 million underneath the cap floor as of yesterday. So taking out some of that money, some of that garbage money, in order to acquire young assets, or in this case picks, is something that we all thought was the number one goal here. And so when the Pelicans sort of backed out a few days ago and trade talks kind of simmered for a little while, we were all like, oh, okay, so maybe this was the only opportunity to get a first round pick. And that's why we kind of talked about a possible option with Portland and Utah. But obviously if you're listening to this now and you heard the news, that isn't the case. The front office was able to get a deal done with the Pelicans. It took a little bit more for the Bulls to take on. Obviously, Jameer Nelson and Tony Allen being part of this trade that wasn't a part of it in the beginning. But it also brought up a point where the Bulls are sending actually that Pelicans second round pick back to the Pelicans. That was the pick that the Bulls acquired when they signed Quincy Pondexter. So thanks to Quincy Pondexter for having some sort of role, I guess, in this whole move of the Bulls being able to get that first round pick. The first thing and most important is Tony Allen's going to have as short of a career as a Chicago Bull as Jose Calderon did a few years ago, if you remember that, in the trade with New York to get Robin Lopez and Jerian Grant to move Derrick Rose to New York. So it's pretty funny. They're going to waive Tony Allen. Obviously, New Orleans just needed a spot to kind of free up a little bit more money and get the Bulls to sort of bite on that. But it is interesting to note Jameer Nelson. Yeah, he's probably he's only going to be a Bull for maybe 30 games, whatever the rest of the season is for the Chicago Bulls, but he's going to hang around a little bit. But the most important part of this entire trade is getting that first round pick, and the protections that come on this first round pick are fantastic. So first of all, the protections on this first round pick are only 1 through 5 in the 2018 draft. So the Pelicans are obviously pushing for a playoff spot, and there was sort of the rumors, obviously, with Greg Monroe getting a buyout from Phoenix, that maybe that was a possible landing location. And we weren't really sure if the Pelicans were able to do both, bring on Nico Mirotic and guarantee that second year option on his contract to make this deal solidified. Wasn't sure if Greg Monroe would maybe be the answer and they would pull away from this deal, but we found out, and then it looks more and more possible that Greg Monroe is actually going to become a Pelican, so join them along with Nico Mirotic. But an important factor is that the 1 through 5 protection is pretty much a guarantee that this pick is going to come to fruition in 2018, unless the Pelicans end up taking a nosedive here in the last 30 or so games of the season and don't make the playoffs, end up in the lottery somehow. And with a percent chance, I would imagine if they do fall out of the playoffs, they're going to end up somewhere between 11 and 14th worst record in the league. And that's talking about worst case scenario for the Pelicans. Even at that point, you only have less than a 3% chance to get a top three pick and less than a 1% chance to get an overall number one pick. So the worry there that the protections maybe would come back and bite the Bulls, it's not going to happen. The Bulls are going to get a solid pick this year, unless, like I said, worst case scenario happens and they end up with the number one. We've seen crazier things happen. It's happened here in Chicago before, but I don't think anybody's anticipating that. So the other element to this is that the Bulls got way higher of a first round pick than I think anybody thought the Bulls were going to get. So when we were talking over the last few weeks and with multiple people around Chicago media in our interviews, we've thrown out the question and their idea and their opinion on what the Bulls value would be for Nikola Mirotic. And we got a wide range of, yeah, probably a late first round pick. I don't even know if the Bulls could pull off a first round pick unless they add somebody else, like we talked about with Jerian Grant or Justin Holiday, to a team like that, or somebody that's desperate enough that the Bulls would have to budge a little bit and take on contract considerations for maybe an extra 2 or 3 years. I think the Bulls, first of all, pulling off the move to, like, I get it that maybe people are a little bit hung up that they sold off another second round pick, didn't really sell it off, but included it in this trade. If that's what it is to get the deal done, I mean, you're getting a pick that could potentially be anywhere between 13 and 20 in this upcoming draft. So with the Bulls' track record of first round picks or second round picks, with the Bulls' track record of second round picks and how they don't obviously value him that much, it's not that big of a deal to me. I think if it includes the little protection on the pick in this upcoming draft, plus it's going to hang around anywhere between the mid part of the draft, I mean, you could still find some solid players in this draft. And I could go through the list of guys that were picked between 13 and 20 and tell you some stars that came out of there. Obviously, the one that comes off the top of my head right away is Giannis, but you can find some solid players in there. So this is a good move for the Bulls, and they got way more than I thought they were going to get for Nico Mirotic. I was somebody who still thought that they had an opportunity to get somewhere between 22 and 30 for him. But no way did I think that it could end up with a mid-teens type of pick, which seemingly if New Orleans tries to make a push for the playoffs and they make it into the playoffs, it's going to end up somewhere between, I would say, probably the highest it would go is 20 and the lowest it would go would be somewhere between 13 and 14. So great move by the Bulls. And the fact that they had to bring out some of this money, including Omer Asik's contract, which it's not that big of a deal, I don't think. The Bulls have plenty of money to spend. So, and this guy was, you know, he put his best basketball in Chicago, too. I mean, outside the first year he signed that big deal with the Houston Rockets back in 2012, 2013, when the Bulls couldn't retain him. You get him back. He's had a couple injuries, been dealing with Crohn's disease, actually, and that was what's kind of kept him out from playing. He's only played in 45 games in the last two seasons, so he seems like he's gotten that under control a little bit. He was out there at least as of recent. He played 24 minutes against the Clippers the other night, so it was sort of a tester to see if he would be willing to go, and he was able to actually go out on the floor and play anywhere between 22 and 26 minutes. But the more important thing here is they got the first round pick. They have the ability to not only swap second round picks maybe down the road in 2020, 2021. That's a good move too that they threw in there because they had to give up that pick. You can waive Tony Allen, which is totally fine. And then you bring in Jameer Nelson for what, 30 games and have to take on his contract, which is like around $3 million. Not that big of a deal, not at the end of the world. So that money's going to come off the books. So solid job by the front office to pull this deal off. And with everything that was encapsulated with this deal, I think another thing that people don't realize about this deal is that the Bulls could retroactively stretch Omer Asik's contract out for 5 years at something like $2.9 million. So they could stretch it out over a course of 5 years and only have to pay him $2.9 million for those 5 years. So if the Bulls think that they're contenders in the league, in the contenders in free agency, not in 2018, but 2019, when maybe they get somebody in the top seven and they feel like they're one legitimate star away from being competitive and fully taking that next step, I guess that third phase of this rebuild, maybe they're contenders there, and this would be something to help them out do that. If they're not, if they don't think that they're in play for any free agents in 2019 and you're looking more at 2020, then maybe you just pay Asik up front and get him off the books. So there's a couple different routes that the Bulls could do with this, and the ability to just stretch that contract out if the Bulls wanted to, if they are ahead of schedule, which it looks like for a lot of their young guys, they are ahead of schedule. If that's the case and there is a legitimate star out there that you want to attack for a max contract, then this is also a really good play by the front office and the ability to do that with this contract. So overall, this grade of moving Nico Mirotic, I know there are fans out there that were sad to see him go, and the time that he spent in Chicago has been difficult. I think this whole fight between Bobby and Nico over October, and then it's stretching through the season, and Nico missing 6 weeks, the first 6 weeks of the season, Bobby being suspended, and just everything that's happened in Nico's career here, I think it's been tough. It's been rough for a guy with a lot of inconsistencies, a lot of injuries, lack of playing in a system that sort of caters to him. I think playing under Tom Thibodeau too is tough, and honestly, I bet you anything Mirotic went to the front office and said, you know what, I'll go anywhere but one team in this league, and I'm not going where Jimmy Butler and Tom Thibodeau are, because for a lot of times, and you hear it around, if you listen to local radio, you read things, you understand that Nico Mirotic and Jimmy Butler did not have the greatest of relationships. He felt belittled, he was made fun of, and so that's not good for confidence either. So I think a clean wipe of the slate, moving Nico Mirotic to New Orleans is not only good for the Chicago Bulls in terms of where they stand and what they're trying to do over the next 2 or 3 years, but also for Nico's career. I think if he can continue to be the player that he is after returning from that injury between the fight, if he can stay that level of player, he can be a really good asset for a team in the playoff hunt like New Orleans is. So I think it's going to be interesting to sort of monitor how he plays now and the way he sort of fits and shapes in with the Pelicans. But I think also too, and another factor to that is securing his contract for next year. And so the Pelicans will do that. It'll be interesting to see if DeMarcus Cousins ends up back there, because Nico talked about how he wanted to be a starter, and I don't know if that changes with a team that's competitive and you got two of the best big men and probably the best, and without a doubt, the best front court in basketball, and Cousins and Davis, if Cousins decides to re-sign with the Pelicans. So should be a lot of fun. Should be interesting to see how that dynamic works out for Nico, if he wouldn't mind coming off the bench and playing in that second unit, sort of where he thrived with the Bulls after coming back from that injury. But, you know, we said there was only a limited amount of teams with the comments that he was making about how he thinks and believes that he's a starter in this league and wants to go to a team that can be a starter, at least for the short term. It seems like Nico's going to get a ton of minutes with the Pelicans and try to push them forward. And he's going to be playing with guards too that are going to pass to him a lot. Jrue Holiday is one of the best drive and dish out sort of guards in the league, so I think that's going to play a really good factor for Nico Mirotić moving forward. So, all right, so before I wrap up this whole trade talk, and obviously we're going to get into it more extensively when Matt comes back too, but I just wanted to give you guys the full breakdown of the trade, what my initial reaction to the trade was, and how it helps not only the Bulls push themselves maybe more favorably into that area of the top five picks in this upcoming draft, but also getting a solid teens pick from the Pelicans. It's a good trade. It's a great trade. But I wanted to throw out some quotes from Nico Mirotić as he exited today. This is from Nick Friedel, one of our friends from ESPN. He did a follow-up story with Nico Mirotić this afternoon, just kind of got some quotes as he was leaving to head to New Orleans. And one of the first things he says is, "My name has been with the team the last 2 years. A lot of people were talking about me getting traded. A lot of people want me to be traded, talking about not having consistency. Now, finally, I'm playing well and consistent, trying to find my way, but it's all good. I understand this is kind of a business." And he said, while his family was still happy and founded and comfortable here in Chicago, that the fight with Portis kind of was the last straw for everything. And he said, it was hard. It was really hard for me, especially because he was my teammate, especially the timing. The timing was basically 2 days before opening night and everything, after I put all the work in during the summer. So for a moment, I felt everything went down, but I had to be tough. I had to support my family. He also said, I usually don't read media stories, but I was home a lot of the time and I saw something, people talking about teammates, that my teammates don't got my back. They're staying with Bobby. I don't know the reason, because I was supposedly not here during the summer practicing. I was doing my job, my own job, with my personal coach and with my strength coach. So that kind of thing, I felt like, gave me some energy to show back, to show people that nothing can mess with me and I'm a good professional. He also finished up by sort of talking about what the relationship is between Bobby Portis and him. And he said, it's normal now. The first day, a week, 10 days, it was kind of weird. It was not easy. The organization did a good job with us, especially putting us on the same team, playing together. It was a smart thing, not guarding each other, just playing together, but now you get used to it. One thing that he did follow up with is that the one thing that upset him the most was that people were pegging him as not a good teammate, and Fred Hoiberg talked about it too, and there was a few other comments that maybe teammates felt kind of separated from Nico over the summer, that he was doing exactly what he said, training with his own guys, had his own philosophy, and was working on himself more than working on togetherness with the team. And we talked about it. It was an important year for Nico Mirotić at 26, and sort of not fully getting that entire year of putting everything together. This is an important year for Nico Mirotić, especially coming back on a two-year contract. So he finished up by saying that, I remember my first game, there was a lot of people booing me. I said, I was like, seriously, after I go through all that rehab? But after we won that game, and once we started winning, and how were people feeling? People change. After a couple games, after I was coming from the bench, everybody was applauding me. Everybody was excited. We had started winning. So, but all those critics just make me stronger. So it seems like he was at the point, we talked about sort of the personality change and the way he changed after this fight happened. And I said, there was sort of a flip that was switched. And I don't know if it started a couple years ago or if it started over the summer, where Nico is really only concerned about himself. And that's, and to his point, after everything that had happened to him, I don't blame him. And if you're a guy out there trying to sell yourself to another team, to another start, to a new location, and trying to find yourself, that's what you're going to do, especially if critics are hitting you hard. Like, I look at it in the way that if, you know, people that hate this show, if they hate the show, then they're going to continuously comment, pick at every little thing. That's fine, but ultimately you got to push forward and go and still focus on yourself, focus on what you're doing. And I can understand that from Nico's perspective, because this is an important year for him. And so now he's going to be able to play with a playoff team. But I thought his comments were interesting, and it was kind of a shift from what I think we normally heard from him, especially in the first few years that he was here. And maybe that had to play into the way Jimmy Butler treated him and the way that the team was more focused on the stars that were here and not really concerned with what Nico was doing. But now that he was an important asset to this team, at least this year, he was given more of the limelight, and everything that happened with Bobby, it only escalated all of that. So I think it was good for Nico to do what he did. It helped the Bulls out in selling him to another team, and it helped him get into a new place where I think maybe he can have some success and be the player that we all thought he was going to be. Now, whether he turns into that or not, we'll see. And there's still a ton of time to find that out, and we'll see how he plays with New Orleans. But I think for both teams, for the Bulls and for Nico Mirotic, I think separating ways, the Bulls getting exactly what they wanted, Nico getting exactly what he wanted. So everybody wins here. And the only people that I think lose here in this situation is fans that wanted Nico to stay. All right, before I wrap up the show here, I definitely want to talk to you guys about the Trailblazers game last night. If you stayed up to watch it, I'm sorry, especially if you had to go to work early on this morning. Most of you probably tuned out after the first quarter, but we'll get to that as I wrap up the show. But first, I want to talk to you guys about MyBookie. The big game is here, and it's time to cash in big and bet with the game at MyBookie.ag. If you haven't checked them out, this is the perfect weekend to get into the action. Have a hunch on who's going to win the coin toss or what color Gatorade the winning coach will be wearing. Log on now, check out the props, and get in on the live action. Don't just watch the game, lay down some money and be a part of it. Join me and thousands of other online players and start betting at mybookie.ag. MyBookie.ag is the industry leading online sports book, and it's a player enjoy the fastest payouts in business when they win. I would only recommend a service that's going to be good to me and to our listeners. I use MyBookie all the time. It's fantastic. I bet on all NBA games and the Super Bowl as well. This week I will be betting on it as well. That's why I urge you to make your way to MyBookie. You win, they pay without any hassles. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. They even have in-game live betting so you can place a bet after kickoff. Join now and score free cash to place your Super Bowl wager on the house. Right now, MyBookie is giving away up to $1,000 to every new player. That's $1,000 in your pocket to every single new player. So that could be you. Sign up today to score an instant 50% bonus on your first deposit. That's right. If you join with $100, you'll get a $150 bankroll to play with. Use the promo code LOCKEDONBULLS, LOBULLS, to activate your offer. Play, win, and get paid. MyBookie.ag. Play today. All right, so to wrap up, let's talk about the Trailblazers-Bulls game. I'll be short, brief with this because there was a couple things that I did see that bothered me. And outside that first quarter where the Portland Trailblazers came out and scored 43 points in the first quarter, CJ McCollum with 28 points in the first quarter. So if you didn't catch the game at all, that's how the game started. The Bulls had two points through the first 6 minutes of the game. Portland went on a 23-2 run at the beginning of the quarter. Shots weren't falling, and everything was draining for the Portland Trailblazers, especially CJ McCollum. So in this game, the biggest factor of it all was obviously the person that I pointed out again, CJ McCollum, 50 points, 18 for 25 from the field, 6 of 9 from three-pointer. At all 8 of his free throws, he had 5 rebounds, 2 assists, 1 steal, and he played 29 minutes in this game. Pretty much everybody else wasn't a factor after that had happened. Portland came out to a 26-point lead at halftime. They were shooting 62.5% from the field. 62.5% from the field, and the Bulls shot barely over 30% in that first half, and that was about it for the Bulls, other than stringing together two sort of, I would even call it garbage quarters in the third and the fourth, where Portland pretty much called off all the dogs in those, that third and fourth quarter. I mean, outside of CJ McCollum, Damian Lillard pretty much set his rotation. I mean, the Bulls at one point even left out Zach LaVine in his fourth quarter, sort of rotational turn, sort of said, all right, I think it's pretty much over. And the score didn't dictate exactly how brutal this game was. It ended up 124-108 in Portland, but a couple things that I did notice. So one, it's getting more and more difficult for me to have to come to the realization that Zach LaVine's defense is going to take some time, and whether or not, and I'm not saying that he's going to turn into any type of elite defender, nothing by even that a stretch of an imagination, but I think the hype, the praise, and I'll be the first person to tell you that I'm willing to stand tall and die on Zach LaVine Hill, because I really think the athleticism that he has and the pure scoring ability is still there, and that the fact that he's only 22 years old, I think there is still a ton there. Given that, we knew how bad of a defender he was coming from Minnesota. We knew that him, with the amount of minutes that he did get in Minnesota, we knew that he was one of the worst defenders in basketball. I mean, it's hard to watch. And from afar, I said, okay, well, maybe those are the things that we can learn, and we can kind of offset that with great offensive nights. And like we had talked about earlier on this week, his two games over the weekend against the Bucks and then the one against the Lakers, he shot 5 for 28. The offense wasn't there and the defense was lacking. And so I had some people on Twitter tweet at me and tweet at Locked On Bulls. So at Locked On Bulls and at Jordan C. Malley, asking me if there was any concern, because I did make a joke about Zach LaVine's defense and just getting diced up by CJ McCollum. I have to note myself there too, because Justin Holiday was also 50%, or I would say probably even more responsible for CJ McCollum just absolutely lighting it up, because he was torching Justin Holiday. He was torching Zach LaVine. And for the most part, I think in the 22 minutes that Zach LaVine was on the floor, he was guarding Evan Turner. So the fact that Justin Holiday was getting torched that way, I'm not really surprising, but sort of embarrassing. And nobody really went after him after he would nearly put up 40 points in the first half. So to that, I think I watched Zach LaVine, though, him playing defense on Evan Turner and just the rotations that he was making at defense. It seems like he's given up a lot. He gives up on plays halfway through, and I'm applauding one of our former guests and friend of the show, Stefan Ngo of The Athletic, because he pointed this out in a bunch of different videos on Twitter last night, and I'm like, thank God somebody else is watching this, because I'm watching Zach LaVine, and he may not be the guy that's pointed to the ball handler at all times or guarding that same guy, but His lack to help out on defense, or just willingness to let a guy drive straight through him and for an easy dunk or an easy layup, like those things are going to take some time. And that's why I said it's a small sample size. The stats that I read off to him about him being a defender and giving up 2/3 of the shots that guys were putting up against him, like those things are going to take some time. But I think it's more glaring when his offense hit some bumps, and that's going to happen too. Let's all remember that he is athletic and he is a great shooter, but he's also only 22. He's coming back from not playing for over a year in the NBA. So with that, I would say small sample size. The defense is going to, it's not going to happen overnight. It's going to take, that's going to be something that's going to take 2, 3, 4 years at the most to get him to a level where you feel comfortable with him out there every night in extended minutes and important periods and say, all right, he can do enough to make sure that a guy is covered or he isn't that main option. And there's ways to hide him too. But I think what he was missing on top of that when we saw in Portland is missing guys like Lauri Markkanen and Chris Dunn and Nico Mirotic not playing either. So having to look at it and watch potentially 4 guys that had spent time in the G League be in legitimate rotations last night. I know even in garbage time that happened, but that could be a cause for it too. So one of your best defenders and three of your best players on the team didn't play in that game. So I'll take it with a grain of salt as well. He did have a really nice offensive night though. I will say that this was one where I felt like Zach LaVine kind of felt his stroke, and outside of the stuff that I did see on defense, he was 8 for 13 from the field. He was 3 for 4 from the three. He was 4 of 7 from the line. He had 2 assists, no rebounds, 2 steals. He had a block, and he had 23 points in 22 minutes. So this was a good offensive win for Zach LaVine personally, a stride that he's hit, and this was his season high in points. So I think as his minutes get extended, you bring Chris Dunn back into the fold. You bring Lauri Markkanen back into the fold whenever that does happen. Lauri coming back probably sooner than Chris Dunn coming back, but those guys are going to spread things out for Zach LaVine. You're going to see more scoring, some more consistency, I think, there, but that's also going to take some time. So I would say don't hit the panic button on Zach LaVine. Like, this is what we knew coming into it. And while Lauri Markkanen and Chris Dunn have exceeded expectations by far, I don't want people to get caught up and think that's the norm. Like, that's not the norm of rookies or guys that are 2, 3, 4 years into the league, especially guys with ACL injuries and coming back. Like, it's going to take some time, and especially with how young he is. And I like the firepower, and I like that he's out there saying, you know, this is not how I play. I'm going to try and work through these things. Like, it's good to hear him taking responsibility for some of this happening. And he wanted to talk about the team more so than anything he was doing personally, even with his best offensive night last night. I thought some of the quotes that Casey Johnson of the Chicago Tribune put out after the game last night were pretty nice, pretty telling of what had happened and the destruction that happened in Portland. So he said, the last 2 or 3 games, we've been sorry for ourselves in the first quarter, and that's where it all has to start. We have to find something to fix it. Having guys out shouldn't matter, and that's what I brought up in Lauri Markkanen and Chris Dunn. We're all professional players. We can't get down 20 points or give up 40 points in the first quarter like that. You can count all the factors. You can count all the factors, but the guys we have are more than capable of doing the job. So calling his teams and making his teammates be responsible for it, not only himself, but making his teammates hold some accountability for, even though our core of the team is out, guys should still be able to step up and shouldn't get embarrassed, especially the way they did in the first quarter. Something else he added to this loss was, we're not aggressive. Teams are getting whatever they want in the first quarter and see it's soft out there. And then we're coming down on offense and it's stagnant. We get back in the game. Once we get punched, we throw a couple back, but it's too late. And I think he's right. Like, the Bulls have trended to this topic of coming out lazy and flat. And I wouldn't even use lazy as the word, just coming out flat and disproportionate on the offensive side of the ball. So when you stack those two things up, when you're letting teams light you up for over 60% from the field in one half, like, things are not going to work out well. So not only to Zach LaVine's point, but to something else Denzel Valentine had said about CJ McCollum, he said he's pretty relentless. I saw the look in his eye when he gets going with the ball. It looked like he wanted the ball on every possession. He had the 3 ball, the mid-range of the floater. He can get to the basket. When a player like that gets going, it's pretty tough to guard, but our starts are killing us. So Zach LaVine's not only the only one that notices this, and, like, obviously as a fan, you're noticing this too. So I think for the Bulls, it's going to take not only Chris Dunn and how much they miss him in commanding that offense and getting them to run, him plus adding Lauri Markkanen back, and with Nico Mirotic departing, like, some of these guys are going to have to step up now. Like, this is going to be an important time, not only for Bobby Portis, it's going to be important for Lauri Markkanen, and I'm interested to see how Fred uses those systems, but those guys are going to have to step up. And outside of those guys too, the guards got to be better. Justin Holiday's got to be better. Jerian Grant's got to be better. Zach LaVine's got to be better. Denzel Valentine's got to be better. So in these starts, all of these guys should be held accountable for it. And when the Bulls, like Zach LaVine had said, go down 20 points, it's awfully hard to keep coming back. And especially when you're doing that night in and night out, it kind of gets repetitive. And that's what we don't want to see. And we talked about it with the confidence level of the team and playing well and playing better to the expectations. For guys in the locker room, that's something that they really carry and they hold heavy. And so when things aren't going their way and they're seeing some of this consistent things happen, Fred's not going to be the guy to sit there and scream like Tom Thibodeau did all the time on the side of the court. So you need other guys to step up and say some of these things. And it's kind of cool to see LaVine be acting as that guy, even though he's only played in less than 10 games so far as the Chicago Bulls. So some important things. This is a game to pretty much wash your hands. If you're a Tank fan, this is a Tank win. I would wash my hands clean of this. I even tweeted it out there earlier that the Bulls for the majority of the fourth quarter had 4 guys from that had played some time in the G League over the course of this season, and then you add Quincy Pondexter to that. That pretty much waved the white flag with about 5 minutes left in the third quarter. So I'd wash my hands clean with this one. Bulls got the Kings next, and they also have the LA Clippers. So you got the Clippers and the Kings next. So we'll see what happens here. See how long it takes for Lauri Markkanen to come back, because I know there are unofficial reports out there that his girlfriend was having their first child. So if that is true, then congratulations to Lauri Markkanen. Tomorrow, want to get into a bunch of different things, not only with Matt and get his reaction. We'll do a little bit more analysis on where this team's going with this Pelicans trade, his reaction to the Trailblazers game, but also I want to get into kind of a weird story about Derrick Rose that has surfaced and may or may not be true. So we'll get into that tomorrow, but that's going to about do it here on Locked On Bulls. Remember, you can follow us on social media at Locked On Bulls, at Bulls _ Peck on Twitter, at Jordan C. Malley, and at Locked On Bulls. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/LockedOnShyBulls. Remember, we're live on Dash Radio, DashRadio.com, and the Dash Radio app on the Nothing But Net channel. We're live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central Time. Subscribe to the show, iTunes, Android, Stitcher, Google Play, and anywhere you find podcasts, you will find us. Make sure to follow the Locked On Podcast Network on Facebook and Twitter as well. 48 hours left to enter the tickets contest to come see Jimmy Butler and Taj Gibson's return at the United Center on February 9th, 2017. Matt and I are going to be taking you and a guest, the one lucky winner that submitted their review of the podcast on any platform they like, preferably iTunes, but any platform you listen to podcasts on, simply leave us a review, screenshot that review, and send it to lockedonbulls@gmail.com. But for Jordan, thanks for hanging out with me today. Hopefully you enjoyed the Nico Mirotic trade. We'll have much more for you tomorrow to lead you into the weekend. But for Jordan, I'm saying goodbye. Enjoy the rest of your night.
Locked On Bulls, a show for the most passionate fan base in the NBA. Hosts Jordan Malley and Matt Peck dive into the best Bulls news and stories around the NBA. Locked On Bulls is live on Dash Radio every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday, starting at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central. For more content and to stay up to date, head over to LockedOnBulls.com, part of FanRag Sports.